Well, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Welcome to today's webinar, Give Me 5106, Does the Government Buy What I Sell? Presented by Donya Story, who will give you key information on how to land the world's biggest customer. My name is Scott Nolan, Give Me 5 Program Coordinator for Women Impacting Public Policy. Before we present today's course, I do have a brief technical notes I'd like to go over. We are recording this presentation, including the question and answer segment. A podcast of this recording will be sent along with a brief survey to all registered attendees of today's call. We like to keep these sessions interactive, and we invite your questions as the session is delivered, but we have muted the lines for audio quality. During the presentation, if you have any questions for our instructor, please feel free to send your questions immediately via the chat function on the right-hand side of your webinar screen. Please do not put your phone on hold as it can disrupt the call. If you need to step away, please hang up and call back when you're ready to rejoin the session. For optimal viewing, you can always click on the full screen icon on the upper right of the display window. Today's course instructor is Donya Story. Donya is the president and CEO of Quality Technical Services, a successful federal contractor for 31 years. She is creator of GovTips.biz, an online guide to success in federal procurement, and is the developer of the World's Biggest Customer book series. She has been appointed to 3 state boards, including the Virginia Small Business Financing Authority by Virginia Governor Bob McDonald. She serves on the Virginia Small Business Advisory Committee for Congressman Scott Rogel of Virginia's 2nd District, has provided testimony for congressionally appointed commissions, and testified before the House Small Business Committee. Donya also has had the great honor of being appointed to serve on the SBA's Regulatory and Fairness Board. Donya, the floor is yours.
Great. Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you so much for inviting me to do the webinar today, and hopefully I'll be able to share some information that is of tremendous interest for those out there that are looking or exploring as to whether their business is viable for selling their products and service to the government. As Scott said, today's webinar is named Does the Government Buy What You Sell? And as you know, as we proceed through this webinar today, one of the key things that you need to do to begin, and a lot of people do not do this, is you've really got to focus on your business model. You need to clearly define who you are in the marketplace. We call it as is, as you are right now, and that's what we're going to go through, and we're going to wind up and come back to your business model at the end of today's presentation. But some of the questions you need to be asking yourself would be the products that you sell. Are you a product reseller? For example, when we do some of the research, one of the questions you might be investigating is if you sell what's typically known as a commodity type product, is this product sold on a GSA schedule? One of the other things you need to be asking yourself when you sit down and make your notes as you proceed and begin to research this is when you sell your product, is it typically teamed up with some sort of service? In reverse, let's say that you are a services company. Could you possibly expand your dollar volume or your revenues if you sold your service and accompanied that service with being a product reseller? So those are some of the things before we begin that you should sit down, and later after this webinar, if you decide to move forward, those are some of the things you need to sit down and ask yourself and begin to clarify as you begin your research. So let's move on. One of the things that you need to determine is what is your brand currently in the marketplace? For example, are you known as a value-added reseller of your product or of your service? Now, what do I mean by that? You may be a value-added reseller of product or service, which means that you may not always be, or maybe you are almost always not the lowest price when you go into the competitive marketplace. But because you are somehow a value-added reseller of product or service, people are willing to pay the little bit extra that you have to offer. And if you can imagine, even in this tight economy, the government is always looking for what is our best investment. It does not mean that price does not count, but if you're value-added, that certainly is a way to understand who you are as you enter in this investigation. As I have here, the second bullet, we talk about low price. And, you know, McDonald's has done quite well throughout the world being a low-price competitor in the industry that they chose to enter into many years ago. It may be that your product or your service is known as being absolutely a good value, but almost always coming in at the lowest price. And if that is the case, you really want to take that into consideration when you enter in investigating where you'd be seen in the industry of government contracts. Something else that people forget to take into account is, are you highly focused in a particular niche in your industry? And what do I mean by that? For example, are you niched to a particular location? Are you niched so that you handle only a certain type of product in a certain area? Are you niched because you only deal in very large projects? You need to take a look at, again, what is my brand and am I a niched company? The last bullet here, fast response. In many cases, some people build their brand because they are the fastest responder in their industry. Whatever it is that they do, they are able to get it to the marketplace, to the customer, or where the customer needs it faster than anyone else. This list that I've given you here today, this is just a simple beginning for questions that you should be asking yourself before you begin your investigation, because all of these things will play a major role in how you investigate how the government is buying what you have to sell. Let's see. On my screen, we are... Okay. Now, what is the service area that you are serving? This is one of the things that you need to take a look at. Are you currently a local reseller? For example, do you only sell in a very tightly focused region, let's say of about 50 miles? Do you only sell in a particular city? You may be a retailer of candy, for example. And candy may not be the sort of thing that many people think about, but candy is something that the government buys. I'd like to say that the government buys everything out there. I have yet to find any product or any service that the government is not buying today. So as you take a look again at your service area, I'm not talking about the small company that typically sells in a local area, but every now and then you sell in a different state. What do you do basically in your day-to-day business? Are you local, state, regional, national, or are you selling internationally? Once again, that goes into identifying what your brand is. Now, after I've gotten you to think about, and there's many other questions that you could be asking yourself about your business, let's move into some of the research areas. I'm going to start with some of the big picture research that you can do once you've identified and you've really decided what it is that you want to sell the federal government. Because keep in mind, you may sell or be in three different business areas, but you might decide that only one is the area that you want to sell to the government. Now, in taking a look at that big picture, when you do your research, one of the things that you want to do, and I've kind of gotten into a couple of the websites, and I'm, you know, there are a number of different courses that are out there, and there are a number of great consultants that can work with you to do nothing but teach you how to surf the web. As a matter of fact, you could go to an SBDC, you can go to PTAX, you can go to the Women Business Centers around the country, and they also do an excellent job of showing you the various websites. But I'm going to go through just a few of them out there today. And I'm going to start with what I call the big picture research sites. There is something called USA Spend, usaspending.gov or usa.gov. Those are two typicals where you can go in and search how is the government how is the government buying what I want to sell. Now, some of the things that you'll be able to find is what's the total dollar volume in that particular area. You can drill down and you can find out where they are buying. you can see in what year how much they spent. Now, having said all of this, I will tell you, on many of these websites, you are truly doing research, and they are not always current in real time. They are a great place to do wonderful research, but in many cases, sometimes you will go in, and it may not be current to the date that you're searching, so please keep that in mind. FPDS.gov, the Federal Procurement Data System, is actually one of my favorites. Oftentimes, I'll go in, and I'll be working with a client, or I'll want to research something in particular, and it's one of those sites. It does take some time because you will start from a global perspective, and you will drill down as you begin to fine-tune your search. But this is a website that does very, very well in giving you a sense of what they're buying, who's buying it, how much are they buying, and you can actually find who was doing the selling. Who did they buy that product or service from? Now, let's move to acquisition.gov. Acquisition.gov is a site that integrates a variety of different things. You can find regulations, systems, resources. You can actually find training. DAU, which is the Defense Acquisition University, actually has on that site, you can get to and see some of the courses that they provide training in. So, again, it's these are just what I call the big picture research sites. Now, let's move in where you can do a little bit of tight focus. And, again, we're not doing this live. We've done this through ScreenSave. But when you go to these websites, you'll get a sense from what we go over today how you can go in and do some of your own research. Let's take a look at three in particular. One is FedBizOps, or FBO.gov. Another is GSAAdvantage.gov and GSAElibrary.gsa.gov. Now, today is not about doing a workshop on GSA, but I'm using them as just examples in how you can go in and just take a look at, you know, is the government buying what I'm trying to sell? When you take a look at FBO.gov, what you can do is, first of all, get to the home page. From there, this is a very broad search, but what you want to do is go to Advanced Search. You see where I have this circled, and you would just click on Advanced Search. Now, before you were to do that, a couple of little things I want to bring to your attention. Before you leave the home page, you can do a few things that will help you as a vendor. You can actually go in and register as a vendor. And when you do that, some of the things it allows you to do is you can actually track the opportunities. You can actually get email notifications, which means that the government actually will be feeding you opportunities. And that's really great. Instead of you're always chasing opportunities, one of the things that can happen by email is that you will get notifications. Now, I will tell you, once you do that, you better be prepared to field those notifications, because there will be times when you will just be flooded with notifications of those things that are in your area of business. It also will allow you to establish your vendor profile, which is something that's very good. So anyway, you would go into Advanced Search, and you would click on that, and you have any number of ways that you can filter that search. Now, one of the things that I've done here on our demo screen is that I have gone in, and you're going to see on that you can go in and search by NAICS codes, you can search by the government agency, you can search by dates that people have posted. But I'd like to stay focused on how do you find out if they are buying what you are selling. One of the fastest ways I find out is, and I'm going to do this with a three-point refinement or filter for the search, I'm going to start with, you could click on women-owned small business as a set-aside. Another area that you could click on, let's just say that you are an IT company. You could go ahead, drill down, and click on IT. The third thing that you could do, and I've picked one of my favorite areas, I have decided to select a sources sought box as opposed to solicitations. Now, you might ask, Donya, why did you select sources sought? I did that because I find that Source of Thought is a wonderful way, a great way for you to go in and begin, I call it pre-marketing the real solicitation. That is where you actually have the opportunity of shaping a solicitation so it is more, I'll say it's closer to being within your reach. So a Source of Thought is a wonderful thing to respond to. So I really like, and I advise for small companies to go after that. One of the things that this permits you to do when you click on the Source of Thought, you're kind of gathering intel, and it allows you to give feedback at the same time. So once you click on those three filters, what will come up are some of the available opportunities or those things that are out there in Source of Thought. After that, you can begin drilling down on who the buyer is, what is it they actually need. You can begin looking at, gee, does this fit my skill set? Or most importantly, what this tells you is, gosh, this might be a way that the government buys what I'm trying to sell them. It will tell you how they want it to be packaged. It may tell you how they're going to buy as far as quantity. It will give you a lot of good information. Now, just as a side note, if you decide to go into the federal sector, one of the things I advise is always go looking for Source of Thought, and as a small business, always answer a Source of Thought, especially if it's anywhere related to the sort of business that you're trying to enter into. Keep in mind, it is not an official solicitation, so you can gather more intel, I like to say, by just calling the contracting official or that customer and learning more about what they're looking to eventually buy. Now, let's go to GSA Advantage. GSA Advantage is one of those areas where not only can you find out whether government whether they are buying what you sell, but it's a great place to take a look at your competitors. You can take a look at your competitors and how they are selling. You can also take a look at how they're pricing. So it's a wonderful place to learn a lot of good information. You're going to note here on the left-hand side of the page that they list the products and services. You're going to see, and I got this from a real case scenario. I happened to be in Boston last year, and we play a little game in our workshops called Stump the Stories. And we ask people in the audience, because we go on the premise that the government buys everything, and we ask in the audience, is there something that, you know, you're wondering whether the government buys? And a lady raised her hand and said, yeah, organic cotton. And I must admit, I kind of raised my eyebrows and I went, whoa, okay, let's see. And sure enough, the government did. So I'm taking some information from a real-life situation here. We put in organic cotton, we clicked on go, and essentially what you're going to see is some actual solicitations came up for organic cotton items. And we used one of the examples here that we just highlighted. These were organic cotton grocery totes. So as you can, as I was saying, you can go into these sites, you can start taking a look at what people are buying, and very importantly, one of the things you will see is what is the number of the GSA schedule or the GSA multiple award schedule. It will have a contract number. You will see on the example that I've given you, if you were selling organic cotton, that is the contract number. So what we've been able to prove here is the government buys organic cotton, and it also tells you if I wanted to apply for a GSA schedule, this is the contract schedule that I would apply to. So instead of going in searching through NAICS codes, I have a tendency to do it a little backwards. I don't go in for NAICS codes. I go in looking for real solicitations. We find the contract numbers there, and then the small business knows where they can apply. Now, when you go to GSA Advantage, one of the things that GSA actually requires you to do is have a website. And when you're on a schedule, not only do you get to click directly to your website, but you get to upload a type of website, let's say, for your own company and your schedule. And it's where you would provide your company's information, how big your company is, do you have any certifications, what do you sell. You can upload your pricing catalog, your products, your services, who your customers are. You can talk about your past performance. It is, again, a great way for the customer to know about you, but keep in mind, it is a great way for you to learn about your competitors and how your competitors can learn a little bit about you. So keep in mind that you want to upload what is important, but you really, if there's anything that we like to call, if there's anything about your secret sauce, it may not be something that you're going to want to share on that government website, so to speak. Now, let's move to the GSA e-library. This is another good place where you can find your schedule. It's where you can learn about all of the GSA multiple award schedules. If you already know what schedule you're interested in, you can go to what's called the Quick Schedule. You can click on Quick Schedule, and then you can go to their pull-down menu. If not, you can just enter that GSA number that you found in your last search that we went through, and that could be copied into the search, and you can search from the contract number. Now, when you go to the GSA e-library, you really want to know, and remember this goes to the first part of the webinar where we spoke about how are you selling your product, how are you selling your service, or are you selling a combination? This is a great way for you to go in and start looking around to get a sense of how the government expects you to sell if you are on that schedule. You will be able to read in great detail about the schedule and decide if it's a good way for you to sell to the government. Now, having said that, I will tell you the GSA schedules are not the only way that you sell to the government. In many cases, there are other multiple award schedules that especially the Defense Department has where you can go and do your research and you can learn how they are buying. But if this is the case, you want to go to the latest solicitation for that multiple award schedule, if it's posted on FedBizOps, and start your proposal process working from there. Now, let's move on. I've done the very, very, very quick run-through of how you can do some of these researches using the web, but I'd like to go into other ways that you can research how you can sell your product. One of the greatest ways is doing your own personal intel gathering. And how would you do that? Do it through your industry. Go to association meetings. Take a look at who are what I call the informal leaders in your industry. Who are the people that you can learn from? They may not be the people that are selling what you sell, but they may be so experienced that they can help point you in the right direction. They may even be able to point you to the right people in government so that you could do a quick telephone or email interview with them. I can't say enough for how effective personal intel gathering is. The websites are only a start. Being able to go out and mix it up with the network, getting to know other people that are doing business with the government, other people that are in your industry or in a related industry. For example, if you are an electrical company, you want to get to know those people that are general contractors that are doing business with the government. If you sell IT services, you too may want to get to know those folks that are in the construction business because they can connect you to the customers and how they are buying possibly some of the things that you may be selling. As far as the government, go to their industry days, go to their small business fairs. Seek out those people that are contract holders with various agencies in the government. They, too, are a wonderful way of learning how the government is buying. One of the things that we talked about earlier was sometimes the government websites are not necessarily up to date. One of the things that I will share with you that you need to take into consideration today is the government now, in many cases, is buying a little differently than they did a year ago or 2 years ago. And so this personal intel gathering and using your networks can be extremely extremely important in this time in knowing what changes may be occurring that would not show up when you do your online research. Now, I'd like to move forward. Remember, in the beginning of today's workshop, we talked a little bit about your business model and how I was going to come back and revisit some of those things I talked about. If you did some of the research that I talked about, you should now be able to determine, are they buying what you're selling? You should be able to determine, are they buying the way that you sell? One of the things that you should be asking yourself is, must you package differently for the federal government in a different way than how you might be packaging for your commercial customers? When I began doing business with the federal government, that was one of the things that I found. We call it our go-to-market strategy, had to be a bit different. It was different in that the way we bundled our service with the product was different. The way we marketed was a bit different. We also found that our geographic model was sold differently. So these are some of the things that you would need to take a look at. Your final decision points would also be, is this right for me? As you do your research, and the reason I pointed out acquisition.gov as one of my favorite sites, you can go scrolling through and you can take a look at some of the regulatory training that would be required if you did business with the federal government. That in itself would give you some insight as to how you would have to prepare. You would need to become familiar with what audits would be required of me in the various agencies. Is it only auditing having to do with my accounting system, or, like in GSA, would there be some additional audits having to do with how we are buying and selling and that sort of thing using our GSA schedule? Those are all the things in your decision tree that you need to be thinking about. In addition, you want to take a look at profitability. If you, once you really drill down and you get a sense of how your competitors are selling, you might find that the profitability, when you take a look at individual unit margins, might be a bit lower than what you're used to in the commercial world. But what we found was the volumes were so great that we could wind up making more money in the federal sector, because even though the margins were lower or tighter, the volumes were so great it made it worth our while. I really hope that many of the key points that we went through today were items that were of help to you, and I'd like to open the program up to questions that you may have, and I believe there's a way that you can enter your questions online. Is that correct, Scott?
Yes, I encourage everyone to enter their questions on the public chat function. It's on the right-hand side of your screen. I will leave this open for just a little while. Please feel free to enter your questions there, and I will forward them to Donya.
All right. And some of the things that I could kind of fill in out in the back, I'm going to go back to the branding. Part of what you can do as part of your brand to expand into the federal sector is looking for strategic alliances with manufacturers that are already involved in government sales. You can take a look at companies, whether they're large or small, that you would want to team with, and that is another great way to expand your business into the federal sector.
Well, while we're waiting, I guess, Donya, I'll ask a question for you. What's the best way, do you think, to find someone to team with? How do you recommend to research that?
Well, as a small company, one of the tracks that I followed that I highly recommend is, I think you will find, since we've talked about how the government buys everything, let's say that you're a product reseller. I would go straight to the manufacturer. Or if you're not a product reseller and you wanted to be, I would interview actually some of the major manufacturers in this country, and I would approach them and say, I am a viable company. I've been successful in the commercial marketplace, and I'm looking to enter into the federal marketplace. I'd like very much to speak with your Vice President of Federal Sales to see if there is any synergy between our companies working together, because I would like to be one of your small business partners, and if you're a woman-owned company, I'd like to be one of your woman-owned representatives to the federal government, reselling your product to government. And the same would hold true for services.
Well, we have a question here from Lita. She says, how can we learn in REF for packaging lumber in order to sell to the federal government?
All right. And if she's asking, did I hear, because I'm getting a little bit of a fuzz, was it repackaging lumber? Is that what you were saying?
For packaging lumber in order to sell to the federal government.
Okay. In that particular case, I think you will find that there is a GSA schedule. It's a fairly new schedule. We refer to it as the hardware store schedule. And when you go in, you will find that almost everything that you could find at a Home Depot or Lowe's, as a matter of fact, I believe that those two resellers actually have a schedule. Go in and take a look at how they are packaging their lumber products. And that would be a tremendous guide to be able to share with you. And there would be a great example of where you could be a strategic partner to be a reseller for someone like Lowe's or a Home Depot. But that is how I would take a look, and I would research that. Another angle could possibly be to start with the Army Corps. They do a lot in the area of construction, and they might be able to provide some insight as to how they might buy those sorts of things, for example, especially during a disaster. So that would be my quick advice.
And just as an interjection there, Donya, if you don't mind, I will say as a benefit of WIP membership, we send out a WOSB Opportunity Watch, which lists all the government contracts that are set aside for WOSB in the past week. And I will honestly say in the past 2 weeks there have been many, many contracts out for lumber. So that is a and lumber-related items. So that is a highly needed contract right now.
Oh, absolutely. For example, there is a to your caller, let her know that there is a very aggressive movement for those people putting together repair kits. And let's say lumber, when I talked about how you can take your product and maybe bundle it with a couple of other products, you could put together a whole repair kit with lumber, with nails, with hammers. You know, think of what are the other things when you've been selling lumber that people want to buy, and then go out and package it that way. For example, if you're a person that sold furnishings or lamps or something for rooms, there is a packaged room schedule where you would throw a package of all the products together that would take to make up a room or an office or a dormitory or something like that. So think in terms of what are the related products that you could sell. But that's a great example, Scott.
Yes, and with the few disasters that have happened in the past couple of weeks, there has been an expedited need for those items.
Absolutely. And things like sandbags. I mean, just everything you can think of.
We have another question from Denise here. She says, I have liquid nitrogen, sourced nitrogen to put out wildfires. They require testing but deny testing our method. How can we get on those fire lines?
Oh, well, if I understood her question, did I understand that she has to go through some additional testing to be acceptable? Did I understand that correctly?
I believe that's what she's asking.
Okay. What I would do is, obviously, the first customer that comes to my mind is the National Forest Service. I would start with getting in touch with an OSDBU in the national office. I would pose the question to them immediately, and they should be able to direct her and help her drill down on what party she can get to help her through that process.
Okay, Lita asks another question. She says, we also want to learn how to ship the lumber overseas for the federal government. And that's a question I get a lot, is what are the regulations and what is the process to do contracting that is involved shipping overseas?
Okay. There's a couple of different answers, and I don't know if she is close to a port or if she has a state that has a major port. Because as an example, the state of Virginia, since we have a major port, we actually have a ship, we have an office dedicated to those companies that need help to ship their goods through our port, number one. Number two, the SBA has import-export experts that can help you, and there are special regulations around importing and exporting. They're called ITAR. I would get in touch with a legal group that has someone that is very familiar. I would not consider myself an expert in export, but I will tell you there are some additional bells and whistles that you need to go through. But I would start with your local and or state office, because it is literally their job. Almost all of them have import-export offices that can give you personal consulting free of charge. And I always like to send you to the free resources first.
Denise is asking what an OSDBU is, and I've emailed her this.
Okay.
Of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization.
Yeah, I'm so sorry you get caught up in acronyms.
They can. I will tell you their homepage. I'll put this on the chat function here. It's usda.gov/OSDBU. But if Donya, if you want to explain a little bit more about what an OSDBU is.
Yes, an OSDBU is your small business advocate, and I will tell you, I have some great relationships with USDA. So if Lita needs help, it might have been the other caller. But anyway, if that party needs any special help, you can put them in touch, or I can be in touch with them through you, Scott, and I can make sure they get to the right person. But the small business, the OSDBU, or small business advocate, is just that. They advocate for you. They are the go-between, or the person that helps you within their agency get to the right person, or tell you where you can find exactly the information that you need to be able to do business with their agency. I have found them in the past to be very helpful. Sometimes they're a little overwhelmed, and it might take a day or so for them to get back to you. And oftentimes I will tell you that they respond much better by email as opposed to phone calls. But the USDA is one of my favorite agencies in that they, if I'm not mistaken, unless the data has changed, they probably do the biggest spend with small businesses over and above any of the other agencies. They do an excellent, excellent job of taking care of their small companies. And, you know, I'm going to get back to the lady that talked about the liquid nitrogen and her question. One of the things that oftentimes you can find when you drill down on GSA, you will oftentimes find what I will call the engineering specs to a particular product that will give you some of the guidelines and provide you some guidance as to what the government is looking for and how you can go about it. Not always, but in some cases I have found that to be true. And I'll say a few more words about the import-export and shipping. Again, I want to reinforce that the SBA has an area, and you can do the search on sba.gov, but they do have a specific area that you can go to. And if, I think it was Lita that wanted to sell her prepackaged lumber, I know that USAID, Department of State, also, they do obviously a lot of work overseas, even Department of Defense. There's a lot that's being used, and again, Army Corps would be the first resource I would go to in trying to sell that product. I think you could make some very good headway there.
I also have a question from 878071 that says, do you recommend self-certification for WSB or utilizing an agency?
Well, I will tell you, self-certification certainly gets the job done. I am a little partial to doing certifications. I like hearing certifications from some of the third-party certifiers because I think, just like with the WIP organization, we have some sister organizations like WeBank, and they do an excellent job with their certifications. As far as whether you needed to hire a consultant, I don't know maybe if that was what was also implied in that question. I think that's a very personal decision. I don't think it's necessary. I believe it's like anything else, whether it's an 8A certification or a woman-owned certification. When you go through the certification process, that is how you get your feet wet in learning how to deal with the government. And sometimes I think you cheat yourself from some experiential knowledge in learning that. I think one of the things you could do as kind of a hybrid of that is maybe get a coach. You actually do your own certification, but have somebody that helps coach you through it. I think that's the best of both worlds.
Okay. And I'm also listing here in the chat function the list of certified third-party certifiers, which are the El Paso Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, National Women's Business Owners Corporation, U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce, and WeBank. We have another question from Deborah that says, does the government work with IRBs in clinical research?
First of all, I'd get her to clarify IRB, but the answer is yes. But for our audience, ask her to clarify that. Clinical research typically goes through NIH, and that's where she's going to find the funding, Health and Human Services. But having said that, you're going to find through SBIRs, the Small Business Innovative Research Grants, that those are other areas where you're going to find where clinical research could be funded. So DARPA is another one that comes to mind. I know we used to run DARPA's Small Business Office. That is another area where very specific types of research is conducted. So there's a variety of different research arms throughout the government depending on the specifics of the research. And oftentimes they kind of cross lines. You might think of clinical research only happening at NIH, but you'd be surprised at how much could be conducted through an office like DARPA. And DARPA is the, Defense Advanced Research Program Research Agency. I always get so confused. We talk in terms of acronyms so much, we oftentimes forget what it actually stands for. But they're kind of the folks that do the real major research into the future for our Defense Department.
Okay, actually, 878071 has also asked if you can give more information on where is the best place to find a business coach.
Oh, wow. Well, of course, I am a part of WIP and many women's organizations, and so I always like to keep it close to home. I know that Scott could certainly, and through our directory at WIP, there are many, many women who are excellent business coaches, especially in the area of federal contracting. So I would start there. Depending on your region, and a coach doesn't have to be a local person. I know we have worked with people around the country. If you are a person that wants to have a person that you can sit with, I would go to some of your local associations, and especially since we're here talking about federal contracts, I would go to some of those local industry luncheons or networking events that I talked about. Talk to other small companies. Ask who they've had as a coach. See who some of the speakers are that they're featuring. You know, it's, again, ask around. Not every coach is meant for every client. A coach is kind of like your doctor, I like to say, and you have to have a good rapport. So it's not only just finding a coach, it's talking to a number of people that you get to feel comfortable with, whether they're local or nationwide. And I would, it's like anything else, get referrals, ask around, and interview those people that you think you'd be comfortable with. And one of the things, and this is just a personal, it's up to you. I have always been a person that when I am coached, I want someone that has done what I'm asking about. And so I like people that can bring me experiential knowledge. And so that's why I always say, ask around, get referrals, interview the folks, make sure that you can really connect well with them and that they're offering what you want and what you need.
Okay. Well, if you have no more further questions, please feel free to email them to me, and I can either answer them for myself or pass them along to Donya. I'd also like to thank Donya quite a bit for giving us such a wonderful presentation. I'd like to thank everyone who joined us today as well. The podcast and a presentation of this training will be sent out to all participants on today's call, and links will be posted on the Give Me 5 member archive. Also, remind everyone again to look at giveme5.com for a full list of our ongoing training webinars, and that's updated probably about every week. Give Me 5 is just one of the training programs available through WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy. We also offer the Women, Money, and Opportunity series, which combines resources and the wealth of knowledge within the WIP community to educate women business owners in government contracting, access to capital, technology and telecommunications, and energy and environment. If you would like to join WIP, please contact us using the contact information provided on the slide in the follow-up email. Women Impacting Public Policy is the voice for women in business in our nation's capital, advocating for and on behalf of women and minorities in business and the legislative process of our nation, creating economic opportunities and building bridges and alliances to other small business organizations. WIP and American Express Open are dedicated to opening federal procurement opportunities for women business owners. Thank you very much. Thank you, Donya, and thank you to all of our attendees. Have a good day.
Great. Thank you, Scott.